You'd like to have a copy of God's precious word as it's written in the Bible. Offer to you a copy this afternoon free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. But read and see for yourselves about Jesus. It's what it's all about. It's what the Bible is all about Jesus. Beginning to end, start to finish. It's all about Son of God, how He would come, why He would come, and what He would do. And of course, latter part tells us of how just He came, as it was prophesied, and you know what He did and why He did it. Christ died for sinners, according to the Scriptures, just as the Old Testament of the Bible said He would. Rose again from the dead after the third day, just as the Old Testament of the Bible said He would, just as it was predicted, prophesied of Him. So He came, lived and loved and died, and rose again from the dead, that men and women might have a Savior, might be delivered from the wrath to come, might know God and be known of God, and have the assurance of the resurrection, the righteousness that is, you know, eternal life, the glory of heaven, rather than, well, the damnation of hell. So Jesus, that's who the Bible's about, what the Bible's about. You'd like to have a copy of one of these Gospels, well, it's offered to you, as I say, free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. You'd like one, you come and ask for one. The Bible, Jesus, of course, speaking about Himself, He refers to Himself as being the bread of life, you know. He says, whoever feeds on Me, he also will live because of Me. Life, you see, is life is what the Bible's about, you know. So Jesus came for to give His life. Life more fully, life abundant. I ask you this afternoon, is that how you describe yourself this afternoon as a person with abundant life? Don't look like it. So look around me here this afternoon. Don't see many people who I feel as though they've got abundant life. In fact, you look pretty miserable to me, like a bunch of miserable sinners, if I'm honest. But of course, some of you, rather impudently, going past now and again, say to me, tell me to get a life. But don't you know, funny you should say that, because that's exactly what God in the Bible, that's exactly what Jesus is saying to you, get a life. And of course, that life is to be found in Him, and in Him alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the one who gives life, you know. And He says here, you know, that whoever feeds on Me, the bread of life that is, he also will live because of Me. He says, for My flesh is true food and My blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me and I in him. As the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on Me, he also will live because of Me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Not just life in its fullness, not just life in abundance, but life eternal. Life that never, never ends. Eternal life in Jesus for feeding upon Him. And of course, Well, you know, bread is essential to life, isn't it? You know, it's well, you can't live without it, or water either, for that matter. Two commodities that are essential to life. And of course, this is what's essential to eternal life. You can't have it without feeding upon Jesus, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. You can't have eternal life without Jesus Christ. I came, he says, that they might have life, that they might have it abundantly. Wages of sin is death, but the gift, the free gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's for this, you see, that Jesus came, lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead, that you might feed upon him the bread of life, and that through him that you might have eternal life. Jesus, you see, is the living bread and the life-giving bread. You see, it's I see bread is essential to life, and Jesus is essential to eternal life. Many of you, you know, you see, you don't see it outwardly, you think it in your heart, you think, well, I just want to live, you know, want to live my life to the full, want to enjoy it, you know, and off you go into the world and you drink it, you eat and dine at the flesh pots of the world, you know, the clubbing and the drinking and the immorality and all the rest of it. You know, you're looking for life, and that's not a bad thing to do, but the only problem is you're looking in the wrong places for it, because the world, you see, and the flesh pots of the world can give you life. Only Jesus can. He's the author and finisher of life. He's the one who gives life. You see, the world can't give you life. World can only give you death. That's all it does. I mean, look at your newspapers. Watch your television news bulletins. On every single one of them, what do you find? Nothing but death. On every page, every bulletin, nothing but death. Because that's all that the world can produce. It can't produce life. But you go looking for life, and you go into the world looking for life. But the one to look to, the person to look to, if you really want to live, is Jesus. Whoever feeds on me, eats my flesh and drinks my blood. Whoever feeds on me, says Jesus, he also will live because of me. It's because of Jesus, you see, in his resurrection. Well, that a person through faith in his name, that a person can truly, abundantly, fully, and eternally live. But not without Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, says Jesus. This is the food, the bread of life, Jesus. This is the food that transforms the person, transforms their life, you see, causes them, makes them to live an exciting, vibrant life, walking with God and Jesus Christ day by day. Narrow pathway for sure, hills of difficulty and valleys of trial and affliction, just like everybody else in the world. But the end of it, Jesus says, this narrow pathway, the end of it, he says, is eternal life rather than the broad pathway that leads to eternal destruction. So you see, people, Jesus is the one that you want. He is the bread of life. Whoever feeds on me, Jesus says, he also will live and live abundantly and live eternally because of me. Because Jesus came for such. This is what he came for, to give to men and women who would believe on his name, who would repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might know such life and such living. Christ Jesus came into the world not to make man religious, not through a religious institution that you get this, Roman Catholicism, Islam or Buddhism or any of your other world religions, nothing but death in the pot there. Life is to be found only in the life-giving Son of God, who is the resurrection and the life, the giver of life. He has the authority, you see, to give life to those, that is, who repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Fatness for your soul, not for your body. We have plenty of that, do we not? Fatness of body, I mean, but this is fatness for your soul. Whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me, says Jesus. He is the spring, you see, of supernatural, eternal life welling up within you, a fountain. This is the very fountain, you see, of the living water that Jesus gives to those who come to him and put their trust in him. He begins it, you see, and he carries it on, and he brings it to the end in the eternal glory of heaven. So, feed upon the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever does so, Jesus assures and promises, he also will live because of me. The life acquired, well, you know, it's a spiritual feeding, it's not carnal. Some people get bent out of shape when you read these words to them. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And of course, well, the Roman Catholic Church has made an utter nonsense and rubbish of that, you know, for years, centuries. You know, it's not a carnal thing, you know, it's a spiritual feeding upon through faith, you see, believing, embracing, and feeding spiritually upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus says the flesh profits nothing, it's the spirit who gives life, you see. You see, the flesh, religion is of the flesh, you see. What you do is of the flesh, you see. Your own power, your own strength, it can't produce anything of any spiritual value or good. Nothing at all. The flesh profits nothing, says Jesus. It's the spirit that is the living as spirit of Jesus Christ, the resurrected, the now alive and the life forevermore, Jesus, the Son of God. Whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me, says Jesus. A life of grace, you see, as opposed, that is, to, well, to death, you know, existence. You know, you would claim today to be alive, most of you at least anyway, but that's not how God sees you. God sees you otherwise. He says, you know, speaking to Christians, how as they once were, he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, you know, and that's the state of you. You see, without Jesus, if you haven't fed and are feeding on Jesus, believing on Jesus, well, you're dead as far as God's concerned, legally separated and cut off from God because of your sins, your iniquity, your rebellion against God. But it's the grace of God, you see, that brings life to the soul. Life of grace as opposed to this death. You know, to be brought out of sin, for that breach between you and God to be healed, and for you to be reconciled to God. The alienation, you see, dealt with. How? Well, through the death of the Son of God. He came, he was born to die, and he died on that cross, and as he was dying, with his dying breath, he cried out, he said, in triumph, it is finished. He does everything necessary, you see, to heal that breach between man and God. He's the only mediator between man and God, you see. He alone can do the mediation work. He alone can bring you back to God. And that's what he was doing, dying on the cross to bring, you know, the just for the unjust. He's the just, you're the unjust. And to bring us to God, you see, that's what Jesus died for, to make peace between you and God. Jesus has made that peace. It's already been done. It's there to be taken. It's there to be received. It's there to be accepted. He came to his own, but his own received him not. But for those who receive the Son of God, eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, whoever feeds on me, says Jesus, he shall live. He also will live because of me. So you see, to as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right, the authority to become children of God, as opposed that is to children of disobedience, as opposed that is to children of the devil, because that's what we are, people, outside of God's family, outside of the commonwealth of Israel, the Israel of God, that is, the church of God. Outside, you know, outside in the cold, cut off from God, not belonging to his family, but belonging to somebody else's family, the family of the devil. You're created in the image of God to reflect the image of God. But here's the thing, you see, in sin you don't do that. In sin you reflect somebody else's image. When you do the lying, you know, God created you to reflect the truth. God is truth. But you see, when you do the lying, well, you reflect the devil. You reflect Satan's image. He's a liar. Always has been from the beginning. A murderer from the beginning, Jesus says. His image you bear when you do the lying, when you do the adultery, when you do the fornicating, when you do all that uncleanness. You know, that's the image that you're reflecting. That's not the image of God. That's not what you were made for. You were made to reflect the image of God, but you reject the, you reflect the image of the devil, of Satan, that murderer and liar, that unclean, that defiled spirit, fallen angel. That's his spirit. That's whose image you reflect, you see. When you're in sin, in darkness, in death, in a state of death. That's how God puts it in the Bible. Person has to be resurrected, you see. They have to be brought out of death. They have to be raised from the tomb of unbelief. And they have to be brought into a living state, you see, born again. Born again of the living Word of God. That's Jesus. That's the bread of life. Whoever feeds on me, says Jesus, he also will live because of me. He's the one, you see, the resurrection and the life, and he has the ability, as no other does, to raise dead sinners from their tombs of unbelief and bring them to life. The grace of life, you see, for feeding on Jesus, feeding on the bread of life. That's what's offered to you. That's what you're presented with this afternoon, in opposition to remaining in a state of death, separated from God, dead in your trespasses and sins, and to remain that way for all eternity. If you don't get out of that state of death, if you're not raised to life, if you're not reborn, born again as Jesus puts it, that's the way you remain for time and for eternity. No way back after you've departed this world. Whoever feeds on me, says Jesus, he also will live because of me. A life of God's favor in opposition to alienation. Alienated from God, from your mother's womb, even before you're born. Because the Bible says you are conceived in sin, born in sin. So even before you hit the, even before you hit the cradle, you're a sinner. You know, no one ever had to teach their children how to lie and how to rebel against their parents. You might have noticed they do that quite naturally. How does he do that? How does she do that, you see? I never taught them to do that, but they do it quite naturally. And we all of us quite naturally sin. It's our habit, you see. We got a habitual life of sin because we were born in sin, you see. Cut off from God, alienated from God, right from the start, right from the get-go. But Jesus came, you see, He came to heal that alienation. He came to die. He came to present us with a bridge, you know, back to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. No one gets right with God, that is, reconciled to God. Only through me, Jesus says, He's the way. He's the way, you see, He's the way back. It's Him that you need. And He's the truth, it's His truth, and the truth about Him that will set you free. And He is the life, 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 you see. Life is what He came for. Life of God in your soul. And without His life in your soul, all you've got's nothing but deadness. Cut off from God. Alienated from God. And so I implore you this afternoon, be reconciled to God. Man's greatest need, I tell you, in any day and generation, is to be reconciled to God. You might have all kinds of needs today. You might say, I need a job. You might say, I need money. You might say, I need this or that. But I tell you, your greatest need, you can live without all those things. But people, your greatest need is to be reconciled to Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because you see, people, while you called out of this world tonight or tomorrow, some people think the worst thing that could happen to them is they lose their houses, or they lose their jobs, you know, or a nuclear holocaust. All these things are bad. Don't deny that for a moment. But it's not the worst. Worst thing that can happen to anybody in this world is to fall out of this world in a state of sin and unbelief without Jesus. Because then you're faced with eternal damnation, with no way back to God. You see, once you're dead, you're dead. The tree lies where it falls. There's no shifting it afterwards. You fall out of this world in sin. That's the way you're not alienated from God. That's the way that you remain for all eternity. Bible doesn't talk about purgatory. There is no such a place. You won't find that in the Bible, along with many of the other inventions of Roman Catholicism. Now people, no purgatory, no second chances, no getting out of hell once you're there. When you're there forever. It's not reformatory, it's penal, it's punishment, eternal punishment. Because you see, you remain in your condemnation. You see, I don't come to condemn you. I don't have to condemn you. You're already condemned. This is the condemnation, says God, that you have not believed on His only Son, Jesus Christ. So you see, people, you need to get out from under that condemnation. You need to get that alienation healed. You need to be reconciled to God. That's your greatest need. Whatever you might think this afternoon, that's your greatest need. Be reconciled to God. Whoever feeds on me, says Jesus, the bread of life, he also will live because of me. Life of obedience instead of a life of lawlessness. And of course, well, that's what sin is, the Bible says. Lawlessness. Living in disregard of God's commandments, the laws that He's given to us. Morality is not an arbitrary thing. God has set the standards of morality. It's not for the state to order. changed up. It's not for the United Nations or the United States of Europe, you know, to arbitrarily decide that which is moral and which isn't. God, in the Bible, has given us His law, His commandments, which are binding upon the whole human race. That is not where you come from. Darkest jungle of Africa or Amazon, Far East, the Middle East, Western Hemisphere. The law of God is binding upon all humanity, and God has set the standard. The Bible, people, God has set the bar, He has set the standard. Whoever feeds on me, Jesus says, the bread of life, he also will live because of me.
What's the Bible say?
A life of what?
What's the life?
Pardon?
What's the Bible say?
Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Evolution is correct in God itself. Okay.
So as I was saying, people, a life of obedience as opposed to a life of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Living in disregard of God's law, His commandments. And of course, as the days go on, the world, your society becomes more and more lawless, more and more disobedient. But then that's just how the Bible said it would be. In the last times, the last days, that is, they would be perilous, they would be dangerous, they would be difficult times. Why? Because of a growing lawlessness that you see right before you in your own filthy society today. Pervades with uncleanness, with debauchery, and with rebellion and anarchy on every front. No obedience to the state, no obedience to the courts, no obedience to law. You see, people, just an increasing and abounding measure of lawlessness, even now, and growing as I speak. But people, a lawless society is never a peaceful society. A lawless life is never a peaceful life. A lawless life is never a comfortable life. It's never a prosperous life. It's never a good life. You never saw a happy rebel in all your life. You ever witnessed, you ever saw a kid, a teenager in rebellion against its parents, and you see how miserable and angry and hateful they are? Well, you see, that's a reflection of you and in relation to God, because you've lived in lawlessness and you continue to live in lawlessness. So therefore, in that state and condition, you will never be happy, always angry and hateful. That's the consequence, that's the outworking, you see, of lawlessness. But whoever feeds on me, Jesus says, he also will live because of me. A life, you see, of obedience instead of lawlessness.
My brother, let them know.
Thank you, madam. Have a good day. A life of comfort. A life of comfort opposed to dissatisfaction and stress. In a true people, you're never satisfied. You know, you got all this stuff in the Western world, in your own society. You got the big houses, you know, and you got the big mortgages to go with them. You know, and you got the shops where you can shop till you drop. And you got the plastic cards to spend with. And you got the phones, and you got the laptops and the computers and the huge big televisions. It's coming out your ears, all the stuff. But you're still not happy, never happy. more clothes than the third world could wear in 10 years, and some of you, your wardrobes, all your designer gear, and ain't you the cool dudes, but never happy, never satisfied, always dissatisfied, always wanting for more, always lusting for something else. Doesn't matter what you get. You get the best gift that you could possibly get. The thing you long for many, many a year, and you get it, and immediately, the moment you've got it, you want something else, because you're never satisfied, because inside you're empty, and you're running on empty. You got nothing in you, because you ain't got Jesus in you. Whoever feeds on me, says Jesus, he also will live because of me. A life of satisfaction, that is. Satisfaction guaranteed when you feed on the bread of life, when you eat my flesh and drink my blood, says Jesus. Satisfaction guaranteed, people. Oh, is that song? The Stones used to sing, ain't got no satisfaction. That's you lot. That's you lot in your sin. Ain't got no satisfaction. That's your theme song. That's your theme song. Always, always lusting after something more. Never any satisfaction with you. But you feed on the bread of life, he'll satisfy you. You'll be content. You'll be at peace with whatever you've got, whatever you haven't got. You'll be able to sit back and say, for the first time in your life, you'll be able to say, I've got enough. I don't need nothing more. Hey, what a day that would be for you. Huh? A life of comfort and satisfaction, free from the stress, the worry and anxiety. You know, it drives people crazy in this society of yours. Used to talk about stress, you know, in relation to ships and aeroplanes, but not human beings. But now, it's just talked about in regard to human beings. Oh, I'm stressed out with the job, stressed out with the family, stressed out with the kids, you know, stressed out with living. Stress. The underlying factor in stress is fear. Fear. Do not fear, the Bible says. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You see, people, feeding on the bread of life, feeding on Jesus, eating his flesh and drinking his blood, that's the pathway to a stress-free living. Whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Life that's eternal, as opposed to decadence and death. Everything, have you noticed, is in a state of decay. People argue with this statement, you know, that evolution is a lie. Well, if it wasn't a lie, wouldn't you still be evolving? Wouldn't you be getting better? I mean, you say, or this says rather, it says that you used to be monkeys and apes, but now you're human beings. So you've gotten better, but it looks to me like you're getting worse. Looks to me like you're decaying. Looks to me like you're degenerating. And it seems to me, as I look around me the world over, seems to me that the whole world is degenerating. It's not evolving. So why is that, pray tell me? Why is that, pray tell me? So you see decadence all around you. Whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Life that's eternal, you see, welling up within you. A fountain, a spring of eternal life that never dies, you know. Eternal life as opposed to the decadence and the looking forward to a what? I mean, if this is what you believe, this is what you believe, all you've got there is nothing but a doctrine of despair. All you've got to look forward to is and decadent. You see, people, you want to hang with that. You want to hang with that. And I know you do it. I know you do it because, well, you know, you're self-deceived. You know, you think that, you know, reject God and the notion of God. Suppress, you know that God is, but, you know, hold down the truth. Suppress the truth in your unrighteousness, you know. Wishful thinking, make God go away. And then I can just live as I please. Oh, I know it feels like freedom, but it's not really. It's not really. It's bondage. It's despair. It's decadence. It's death. That's all that you've got without Jesus, the bread of life. Only He can give you life. Only He can give you this life of grace, this life of God's favor, His smile, instead of a frowning providence. A life of obedience, comfort, satisfaction, free from stress, life eternal. But you see, that's what the Bible was given for. You see, so that you would know. It's a sure and certain guide. In fact, it's the only one that you've got to instruct you in the way to life, as to how you could get life. And that's in Jesus, feeding on the bread of life. Eating my flesh and drinking my blood, says Jesus. Not religion. Not religion. There's no life in religion. Life's not to be found in religion, people. Nor is it to be found in the traditions of men. But in Jesus, in the living, in the crucified and risen, resurrected Jesus, life is to be found in Him. And in Him alone and no other. No other name. No other name under heaven by which you can be saved. Brought to eternal life. Only through the name of Jesus Christ. So it's faith, you see. Faith that unites a person to Jesus. And enables them to feed upon Jesus. Whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. That is when you're united to the risen Jesus, you too will live because of Him. But you can't live without Him. You can't live without Him. Oh, you can exist. You can exist in your despair, in your stress, in your dissatisfaction. You can exist, but you can't live. Faith, you see, it is that unites a person to Jesus. The soul draws the love out of Jesus, the life out of Jesus, the light out of Jesus. You only get these things from Jesus. And it's only when your soul, it's only when you're united to Him in faith, believing. That's why the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Believing, only believe, He says. If you can, everything is possible to the one who can believe. That's the question. Not can He help you, not can He save you, not can He give you eternal life. He can. The question is, can you believe? Can you believe? Faith, it is, you see, that unites a person to Jesus. And then your soul draws the life out of Him, and the love out of Him, and the light out of Him. Instead of death and hatred and darkness, which of course you're already in, and Jesus bids you come out of. Faith applies, you see, the fullness of Jesus, the bread of life, nourishes your soul and gives to you wholesomeness of life. Faith derives from Jesus that which God has promised, you see. Covenant of grace, you see. God is gracious in Jesus Christ. Grace of God, you see. Free favor of God. The undeserved favor of God. that which you don't deserve. The very last thing that you deserve is eternal life. But God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, in His grace, you see, this is what God is like. People ask the question, what is God like? You can't see Him. God manifests in the flesh, the Bible says, in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. And what do you find Him doing? What's He like in the Bible? What's He like in the Gospels? Well, you find Him healing the brokenhearted, giving eyesight to the blind, raising the dead, curing sickness and disease and deafness. He only ever, even His enemies testified, He only ever went about doing good. That's what God is like. He's like Jesus. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, you see. And so you see, God is gracious and kind towards sinners broken by sin, stressed and dissatisfied, lawless and disobedient. God is gracious and kind, merciful, deserving of judgment, of the damnation of hell, each and every one of us. But God has not forgotten to be gracious. He's not forgotten to be kind. He's still compassionate towards sinners. He gave us the gospel, friends. He gave us His Son, and up to the death of the cross, that through Him that you might live. He didn't have to. We didn't deserve it. But that's what God has done, because He is a gracious God. And faith, of course, draws the sweetness out of Jesus. His beauty, you see, and His righteousness. Ah, people, I tell you, there's no beauty like the beauty of Jesus. Ah, He's altogether lovely. He's the sweetest person you could ever know. You don't know what you're missing, people, when you're missing Jesus. But whoever feeds on Me, He says, he also will live because of Me. The bread of life, that is. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood, whoever feeds on Me, the bread of life, because of Me, he shall live. But without Christ, without Jesus, you're already withered. You're already broken. You're already in a state of decadence. You're already perishing on the pathway to perdition. The fact, you see, that you don't believe, that's the evidence, that's the proof that you're on the pathway to perdition. You see, when the cross of God's Son, His death and resurrection, when they're foolishness to you, that's proof, that's evidence that you're on the pathway to perdition. You're in the process of being damned eternally. Unless you turn before you burn, unless you turn to Jesus, unless you feed upon Jesus, unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, He says, whoever feeds on me, he shall live. He also shall live because of Me. But without Jesus, without Christ, without the bread of life, without the true bread that came down from heaven, you're already withered. You're already decadent. You're already perishing. You're already on the pathway to damnation. Soul starvation. And the end of it, people, the end of soul starvation, the end of fear, more fear, judgment, and the holy indignation of God. In that day, people, when God judges all men according to His righteous standards, by His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says concerning that time. But nothing unclean will ever enter heaven, not anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Outside of heaven, that is, are the dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. People, the end of starving your soul, not feeding upon the bread of life, on Jesus Christ, the end of it is fear, is judgment, is holy indignation from God. And the only way out, people, is to be knit to Jesus Christ, is not to turn away from Him, is to stop rejecting Him, to feed on Him so that you may live and that you may live eternally. To eat not the serpent's food, not the devil's fear, but to feed upon the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me and I in him. As the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on Me, he also will live because of Me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. The true bread that came down from heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. So here you are today without life. Here you are without the hope of heaven, without hope in this world, and without hope for the world to come. Believe, that's God's command to you. Believe, only believe. Trust in God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Feed upon the bread of life. People, your nation's in decline. The world is in decline, perishing. The great falling away has already begun. But for those who turn, for those who repent and believe the gospel, the kingdom of God is yet at hand. Now is the accepted time, says God. This is the day of His favor, time when men and women can enter in to God's kingdom. Kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Come away from a declining nation and world. Look not to the world for life. Look not to the things of this world for life. They cannot give you such. Only Jesus, only the true bread, only the bread of God that came down from heaven, alone can nourish and feed and make your soul to live. So turn and feed and draw life from and live in and for Jesus Christ. To live for Him is gain. To die is gain when you're living for and in Jesus Christ. But you fall out of this world in your sin. You live for sin, you live for the world, and you die that way. In the same state and condition in which you were born, in which you came into this world, you go out of it the same way. You remain that way for all eternity. No shift, no change then. Now is the time, the accepted time. Come now. Come to Me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Life for your soul. Light for your soul. Love for your soul. Come. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The worst of you, the best of you, whatever you be, whatever you've been doing, whatever you've been sleeping, whoever you've been sleeping with, Jesus says, come. Come to me, the fountain of living waters. Come to me for food. Come to me for drink. Whoever feeds on me, Jesus says, he also will live because of me. Because Jesus died and rose again from the dead, the crucified, risen Savior promises life to those who come, those who put their trust in him, those who turn from their sin, from a world of sin, and put their trust in him. Life eternal, life everlasting is the promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Eternal life. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved from sin's penalty, its power and presence. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. God promises, the God who does not lie, who has given us his word, promise God for sinners who believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. You'd like to have a copy of God's word today.